Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we are going to continue on the broadcast the saving ministry of the Lord as outlined by himself in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And today we're going to read again our theme portion of Scripture. And it says of him, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" He was reading what Isaiah had said to him seven centuries before. He predicted that the Lord would do these things, and they're beautifully outlined, almost word for word, in the 61st chapter of Isaiah. And our Lord Jesus Christ is reading about himself. So he gives us a clue to his saving ministry to us. Now, the first ministry, of course, is the salvation of our souls. That's how he really saves us from the penalty of sin. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." They receive it. And when we start there, everything has to start there. But his saving ministry does not stop with just simply the salvation of our soul. We've been reading of the various ways in which he is giving us help and saving us from, for instance, a broken heart, saving us from being captives of sin and Satan, saving us from being blind to spiritual truths. And now today we wish to consider him as setting us at liberty from those that are bruised. And we have it so beautifully outlined here: the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. All right, let's go into the scripture and find out what this bruising really is. It's interesting to note that the word bruise is recorded the earliest of all human feelings of sorrow in the third chapter of Genesis. And we read there, after Satan had tempted Eve and she fell, we read there in verse 8 of the third chapter of Genesis, after they had partaken of the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they were suddenly aware of the fact they were naked. In verse 8 we read, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, 'Where art thou?' And he said, 'I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?' And the man said, 'The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.'" He was shirking his responsibility. He was blaming the woman. "The Lord God said unto the woman, 'What is this that thou hast done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.' And the Lord God said unto the serpent, 'Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.'" This is the first record of pain recorded in the scripture. It's cause of bruising. Now, we will see the difference in the book of Isaiah between wounding and bruising. Bruising is much, much deeper. Now, he's talking here exactly what he's going to do. He says, he promises the woman, this is for their comfort. I will put enmity between thee and, he said this, and the woman. He said this to Satan, rather. The woman was listening. I'd better put it that way. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thee, thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And here we see and hear the prophecy centuries before Christ was born, millenniums before Christ was born. The seed of the woman, our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting that Satan used a woman to drive a wedge between God and mankind? Now God, and he did it secretly, didn't tell anybody about it. God announces at the beginning of the book of the Bible that the woman's seed is going to bruise his head. God is going to use a woman to defeat Satan. And Satan used a woman to defeat God. God says, I'm going to turn around and use a woman to defeat you. And his seed is going to put you where you belong. And that seed was our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Isaiah, we begin to see what bruising really means. In this wonderful book of Isaiah, we read the sufferings of Christ. We read in verse 3 of this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he is despised and rejected of men. And this is all about Christ. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now down farther in the chapter, in verse 10, we pick up the theme again. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now it does not mean, of course, that God was pleased when Christ had to suffer. It simply means God, it was God's plan. It was God's way of doing things. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise who? His own son. He had to do it. God had to punish sin, and Christ was our sin bearer, and God bruised him. But there's still more to learn about the meaning of bruising. Because we go on, that he hath put him to grief when he shall make his soul an offering for sin. When he shall make his soul as an offering for sin. Oh, that goes deep. When Christ was on the cross, he cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He told his disciples, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. You see, bruising is deep. The wounds are on the surface. The bruising is in the soul. It was the soul of Christ that was suffered. I know he suffered physically, but it was the sufferings of his soul. And notice, please, what it says. He shall see of the travail of his soul. God shall see of the travail or travel of his soul and shall be satisfied. God saw the sufferings of Christ on that cross for you and for me, and he was satisfied that our sins had been paid for. Christ died, and then he rose again from the dead. Now let's think, if you will, please, that the crucifixion of Christ represents Satan bruising his heel, and the death of Christ represents the utter defeat of Satan. The Lord conquered death by dying. And in his death, we see Satan engineering his own defeat. You see, Satan has got to learn the difference between the creature and the creator. He says in Isaiah chapter 14, I am going to ascend above the stars of God. I'm going to set my throne in heaven. Unholy ambition. And I'm telling you, Satan engineered his own defeat. I love that. Now, Christ's ministry frees us from this bruising effect of sin. We received a new nature when we trusted him as our Savior, and that old sinful nature was rooted out, and it still exists, of course, but God wants us to count it as being suffered, or rather sacrificed, with Christ on the cross. So we received that new nature when we trusted in Christ, and the evil fixations of sins were replaced by the life of Christ. And now the fruit of the Spirit prevails in the Christian, because we read in Galatians chapter 4, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So you see the death of Christ on that cross, and you see what it means when the Lord Jesus says there in the fourth chapter of Luke that he's going to set at liberty them that are bruised. He has freed us from that awful curse that came. He has set us free, if you please, from the bruising that Satan caused. When he bruised his heel, but I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus bruised his head. That was a defeat of Satan, and he engineered his own defeat. Oh, God is so far ahead of this cunning, dutiful angel, Satan. He's so far ahead of him that he does not realize how he has been defeated. Now, on the purposes of God, Satan is still acting and under the permission of God. But in every sense, this is a study all of its own. In every sense that Satan tries to defeat the purposes of God, God defeats his purposes. We see it. I know Satan, by the providence of God, in his sovereignty, he's let him loose. He's on the prowl. But I'm telling you, he's accomplishing the purposes of God. God turns everything he does around for his own glory. I think that is so wonderful when we see the ability, the power, and the sovereignty of our God. He frees us from the bruisings of sin and of Satan down deep, and we get a new spirit, a new life, a new outlook, a new ambition to please the Lord. Our Father, we thank you today for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the fact that he died for us and that he frees us from the awful bruising which Satan instilled. We give thanks in Christ's name. Amen.